on policies and procedures. And Dave, I will turn it over to you at that point.
Okay. So, what we're looking at is the table of content for the policy manual, which at this point is 81 pages. That will be shrunk or expanded as time goes on, depending on how we do things. So, different than the policies of the past, instead of a single page policy, or multiple pages, but the letterhead and an individual document for each policy, this combines all the policies into a manual, broken up into three sections. One is management and governance, one is operations, and one is personnel. So those kind of administrative and personnel. So it breaks it up into three kind of general areas of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then the policy, so the section, this first section is section 100. We start with policy number 100.1, and then it works through. Where there's a, say, a 101, et cetera. Actually, those should all be moved over. No, those are right. So they go sequentially, but when, like, down at 101.7 board meetings, there's more details for that area. The policy number then goes into a 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 under the 101.7. So that's how it's broken out slash organized. You can see some of these.
There's a package there too, but they're not there to get it. So.
We've talked about this a bit. The operations section does need more fleshing out in general. We do have a number of items included in there that we've already discussed, but over time,
might be easier for me to get it than you.
With the direction of the chief,
strong arm.
There's other areas that should probably be filled in there operationally. But at this point, I think we're okay. And then administration, again, broken up into a variety of sections. I did put at the top, which I haven't done because I don't have it, history of the district. I don't have any information for that. So if anyone does, I mean, it's not critical, it's not super important, but it just seemed kind of...
Christine Friend.
It seemed kind of, it would be, it'd be a nice little kind of background on how the district was created originally and kind of its evolution through, but I don't know enough
about it. We've got several people in the...
Well, what about Joyce?
Joyce and Jennifer Schaffini.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing...
There's a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean,
fill in the blanks.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me that would be a nice little, for new people coming in, so they have an understanding of why things are...
District history, yeah.
4167-8090.
Right, so...
0337.
So the whole manual, again, needs to be gone over individually, and anything that doesn't look good, use track changes. For your edits.
Okay.
And then we can consolidate those, or I will consolidate those in the future.
We have a couple. Do you want them now?
No, actually. If we could do it all at once, I mean, each individual at one, you know, can just email me either a track change version of the whole document or whatever they, however you want to present it, it's fine.
Track change, where do we find that?
So track change in a Word document is under review up here at the top.
Okay.
And then you go to track change.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not going to do it because I don't want to set it right now, but that'll allow you, when you click that.
Sweet. Thanks, sir.
Any changes you make will be highlighted in red or green or blue or whatever.
Whatever you choose.
And then when you save it, that saves those changes. So when I can go through, I can just see all the red.
Okay, so I've just been changing the font color.
which this does it automatically.
Okay, gotcha.
It's whatever easiest for you.
However you want to do it.
Okay, got it.
Cameron, we started and basically just discussed kind of the table of contents and the...
Because we're going to do like a full overview kind of formatting thing today, is that...
Well, so the form, yes and no.
Okay.
Describe that the manual is a manual as opposed to the past policies that were individual documents.
Okay.
So we took took that concept and use a manual concept.
Okay.
So it's a little, it's different.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, a little bit more all-encompassing.
Yeah, the content isn't necessarily any different, but the formatting and management of the manual is.
Okay.
And so you can see they're broken out into three different sections: management and governance, operations, and administration.
Okay.
And then within each section, there are specific policies that talk about all the ways that the department or the district is run. Mentioned that the operations will need some more flushing out with additional policies and procedures, but we have a pretty good head start at this point. And so we've gone through all of these sections
at
a workshop.
Yeah.
They're all done.
Amazing.
So what needs to happen now, and we're not going to do it here, is each individual can go through and start making edits and changes that they think, wait a minute, we didn't talk about that, or there's a spelling error, or grammatical
review it at home and then
get it to me, and then I will take all those and consolidate them. If I have questions, I'll send it back out as a group thing to say, okay, Cammie said this but Dennis said that doesn't work out, you know, how do we resolve that? But
what is the best way to make those notes on?
So it's track changes.
Okay,
that's
where, what you guys were just talking about.
Exactly.
So in a Word document up here at the top, there's a bunch of different tabs. You go to review, and then track changes is here.
Okay.
And you click on that and just click track changes. You can actually change the name and it'll actually
say. That way it says who did what.
Right. But because we're not doing all the same document, we don't need that.
Yeah.
And you're going to do your own and send it, so I know it's all you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were all working from literally the
like
same.
Like Google Docs has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then,
same.
Then it would say Carrie did this.
Yeah.
And Cam did. But that gets really crazy when a lot of people are editing the same page.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets very convoluted. I mean, you can figure it out, but
it's
kind of a mess. Right?
Yeah. I agree.
Right. So,
just quick question. Yeah. When do you want us to do our individual reviews by the next?
As soon as possible.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, that's the manual. So, we're not going to go through everything because we've been through all of this already.
Yeah.
And we've essentially agreed on the content, although we haven't approved anything. Now, in order to, once the policy manual and all the policies are approved, this is a mechanism to change, add, delete a policy.
Okay.
So called a district manual notice.
Okay.
So say it's, October, and Nate says we need to do blah, 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 whatever it is. This document would be filled out to serve as the mechanism to be added to the manual that says this is what's happened.
Okay.
So you have the notice number, which you would add a 1 there for the first one, 2 for the next one, etc.
Got it.
The first number is the calendar year. What section? So 100, 200, or 300. What the subject is, policy number, issued, when it expires. So incorporated means that it's actually taken from this document and added to the manual itself. So gone in and edited and put
right.
in
right, reprinted the whole shit and shebang instead of just a,
And then if there's any reference for it. And then the detail would be down here, whatever it is. If we're changing the policy on, public meetings that we no longer have to post them, that's not going to change, but assuming that the law changes, we decided we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we would do here.
You'd write
you would
it
use
in.
This
and this
form.
Would be like filled out at a meeting?
It would
be
filled out whoever
I guess you
is managing.
Vote on it,
yes.
At a meeting
you would have to vote on the policy.
And then they manage this piece of paper.
And then this would get printed out. Each manual holder gets a copy. It goes in the front of the binder.
And that's where we need the record of who's got manuals.
Right.
Got it.
Goes in the binder. Can have a log sheet in there to kind of keep track of them. I don't think there's going to be that many, so I've done it. But so you, when you're looking at your manual binder, you look at these first.
Yeah.
To see whatever it is you're going to look for, if you're looking for something.
See if it's been changed.
Yes. But also in the manual binder, whoever puts this in it should go to that section and make a note, see notice 001. So if someone's reading through it, they go, oh, wait a minute.
There's an amendment.
It's an amendment. It's a change.
Right.
But this notices that there was a change to the policy.
Okay.
So that would be a mechanism. You don't have to do it this way, but that's my...
No, I think it's
one of the things that was talked about at length was policy changes. And it was recommended that even when you do all this and then you go later to reprint everything and you put all this in black and white, a record of what it was before should always be kept.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It shows that you're growing as an agency. And
like this way. It feels very organized.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a good... we can accept that. Okay. So we're just going to run through a kind of bunch of random stuff today.
Okay.
Kind of started with this. But I mean, it's all policy related, but kind of randomly. So the budget... So this is in the policy as we all agreed on. And it was taken from the policy that was approved by the board last year sometime.
Okay.
So I think this is kind of for you to make sure maybe we can have Scott, if it's his name.
Yeah, Scott.
To maybe, if he could get a copy of this.
And look it over.
Just to make sure. I mean, it should be pretty good, but if he says, wait a minute, you guys don't need to do that, or you're doing, whatever.
Yeah.
That would be, I think, very helpful.
Okay.
But the one thing that we hadn't talked about in this process with the budget committee is the budget message.
Oh.
So the law requires that a budget message from the president, or the board, but the president, be established, and then the appointment of the officer, which I don't think it necessarily has to be in this, but it kind of gives them direction.
Okay.
And it, to me, it would be the same message every year.
Right.
You duplicate it. I mean, there might be some changes. So that would be a step that we haven't discussed yet.
Okay.
To my recollection, anyway.
And that is a required by law thing?
Yeah, it's in the ORS.
Okay, perfect.
But again, whether or not Scott says, well, that's a minor ORS. Why having him look at the whole thing would be good. So right now, we should be in the process, or Nate and us, of the of drafting the budget, right? In this budget process, that's where we're at, as well as trying to get members of the budget committee.
Yeah, Nate's been actively working on that too. So.
And remember last meeting, both Mike and Joyce agreed to be on it.
Right, but we need to make our public notice and do that.
So. I just brought this one up specifically because that message when I was going through this, I said, okay, we hadn't talked about that component of the budgeting process, that budget message.
Message, yeah.
Which is something that would be done at a board meeting, I believe.
Mm. So is it just a written document?
Yes. It covers these six items.
Who would write this up?
The president. The board president.
Board president.
It's giving direction to the person who's actually going to be.
So there should. I'm sure that we could find a quote unquote already formatted, somewhat budget message somewhere.
I'm sure we could probably find hundreds of them.
Yeah.
I mean, just assuming everybody's doing this, who's doing a budget, then yes, and it's all public. So.
And
yes.
We're not going in any different direction. Than anyone else.
But it is a step that I want to make sure we take.
I'll start
to comply with the.
See what I can find online.
So that's the budget thing. And I sent you guys all just this budget policy. So it's a separate doc that you can forward.
Want me to go ahead and forward him this current one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, because this is what we've all agreed on.
All right.
I mean, not approved or anything, but in concept. And then barring any changes or updates or whatnot. Okay, that was policy. All right. Next one is record retention. So we talked about retention of records.
Mm. Oh, this is nice. It's all formatted out.
This is about 100,000th of the actual archive list of retention. I mean, it is crazy how many different levels and areas and how you have to decipher between if the document is in this category or that category. So I just did some basic stuff that I thought we would generally have the need to do on a more regular basis. Because you had talked about putting a kind of a cheat sheet together.
Yeah, I know.
This is a limited cheat sheet. But it's you got to go to the State Archives, Chapter 166, Section blah, 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 for the complete list. So if at any point in filing, if you have a question that's not on here, then got to go to that section and look it up.
Perfect.
And that's a lot. And I probably, some of them I was kind of, so I bumped it up as far as.
Yeah, yeah. We when went
I
a had bit a, heavy.
When I wasn't quite sure if the this term equaled what was in the code, I added a couple years just to keep stuff, you know, better to keep it longer if we have the space, which we have the, I assume the container stuff, than to get rid of something that we kick ourselves later. So this isn't won't be a part of the policy.
Okay.
It is, it doesn't have to be policy because this can change.
Depending on state law.
Yeah, in policy we say we have to follow the State Archives rules. Yeah. So this is more procedure than policy.
Could it be in the appendix?
Well, I mean, yes. In the policy it does say under records retention, it says we will follow the State Archives guidance. This just gives a breakout.
Can we have it printed in
the appendix? Yeah, it can be in there, but I don't necessarily think you would, whomever would go to the policy manual to find this. I would think this would be in the file cabinet in the front drawer.
Well, I think everybody needs to know. I mean.
Yeah, I think it, well.
But we can put it in
both.
Put it in both. There's no reason.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
The more clear it is.
Any questions with this?
And easy to find.
Right.
That's the key for whoever comes on later.
Because who knows how files get handled. Sometimes
exactly.
They get thrown in boxes and pickups. Sometimes they stay in
the right.
So I mentioned to Nate, I'm going to compile all the stuff that I have and put it on a thumb drive and hand it off. So all this stuff will be available that he can look at, use, delete, whatever, and anyone else for that matter. But instead of trying to email all these different documents and folders and stuff, I'll just put it on a thumb drive. Duty statements. So these are the 2, 4, 6, 8 draft duty statements that were put together. This is another one. We can go through each one right now if we want or not. You tell me. But we need to have duty statements for each position.
Have these each been reviewed by the appropriate individuals yet?
Nate and Don.
They've been sent, but I don't know how much time they've had to look at them. I don't know about Don.
I've gone through a couple of them, but I haven't gone through all of them.
Okay.
So that's a component that needs to get flushed out.
Right.
So,
let's just say, for sake of conversation, let's say they're still flushing out the duty statements. Can we go ahead and adopt Section 100 and Section 200, and if they're not ready for us to adopt, let's just pretend that duty statements is 300.
Duty statements aren't part of the policy.
Okay, so we can adopt the policy.
Yes.
Perfect.
These
That's
are
all I just
procedures.
Want to make sure they have plenty of time to do what
they and they will
do.
Get changed and updated and tweaked as the chief or whomever decides it should be done.
Okay.
I mean, in the initial stage, the board should be involved with that, but going forward, that's really an operational responsibility. I mean, maybe it's a reporting thing back to the board. Oh, by the way, we changed. The firefighter now has to do whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's a good policy, but it's really up to the chief to decide what those are.
Okay.
Chief and the administrative chief. You have one of those, right? In your personnel officer.
Nate.
In your last email, were these included?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, they were.
Yeah. So take a look at
them.
Again, they do need, you know, review and editing from a editing perspective,
right,
as
right.
well as from a job performance perspective as well.
Okay. We'll look at them then.
Next area are forms. So like any good bureaucracy, forms. Smile, go ahead.
He just
hates forms.
It's
the only way to be organized. I haven't put a forms list together, you know, kind of an inventory, but these are the ones that we are working with right now. You see, every form starts with the initials of the district and then a number, you know, good government, Army Forms 1-2-3-17.
I know.
Rado O'Reilly, you know, when he would talk about that. So, but these all have numbers. The numbers don't mean anything.
I'll say, do they correspond with a section?
No.
Okay.
They're just numbers that I created.
Okay.
Just.
You're just making it up, just like the government.
Actually, I took them from where many of these forms originated, which was from my old job.
Got it.
So I took those forms.
Got it.
You know, some of your form names have a space and some don't.
Exactly. So that's the editing expertise of others to deal with. So you can see we have a medical release form, respiratory evaluation. That's the exam, essentially, that they have to take to Dr. Sheets. A fit test. That's stuff we need to talk about. What I've done and what is real is not the same yet until you say yes or no. Same with the physical capabilities test. But those would be standard forms that, you know, every time you're going to do one, you have that form.
Mm-hmm.
The notice that we just talked about, volunteer service agreement. I still have professional office 2007.
Wow. I'm surprised it even runs.
That's quite the flex.
Huh?
It's quite the flex.
Yeah. Hey. LibreOffice, it's free and it does all of this.
I like this. I know how to use it. I don't have to learn anything.
It's from 07.
It's from 07. It's good, solid. It's Republican was in office when it was made.
It's the same.
What's it called?
Oh, yeah.
Libre. Libre. Office.
That's all about the free software.
Well, this was free. I didn't pay a dime for this. I've had it on like 10 computers since. State of California. This is from the state of California. So your former tax dollars have been.
What did I get?
Okay. So. it was a donation. So this would be a volunteer service agreement, is a volunteer service agreement that spells out for technically any of our volunteers, even the firefighter volunteers could fill this out, but we don't actually have to.
But this could be like admin volunteers or
yes.
Fundraiser. Okay.
Yes. So cool. Name, rank, and serial number up here. And then there's the service agreement, what it is we want from them, what we are giving to them or not, as the case may be. And then signature. And these sections is what they're actually going to be volunteering to do and emergency notification information to have on file.
Perfect.
So if they get hurt or something. So another form.
PNC representative.
Where was that?
At the bottom.
At the bottom.
Okay.
To the right. Representative
right
signature.
Above your cursor.
PNC.
That was Placer Nature Center.
KCFD.
So I changed this form for the nature center job that I had after state parks.
I like it. It's
and,
a good idea.
And this is basically legal mumbo jumbo, again, from California. It was used for this state agency. I took out some of the stuff that was specific to California because obviously we're not in California. But it should pass muster of any review because it's already been done by lawyers and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't write any of this.
When you print this out,
yes,
are you going to change the margins on this?
Yeah, I haven't gone back and done that, obviously.
Okay.
Right. That'll.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see, minor injury form. We've already kind of. Might have looked at this one, but this is. For a non-reportable, that doesn't sound right because this is reporting it, a non-going to the hospital or doctor's office injury.
Okay, so like a non-insurance injury at the moment.
I got a paper cut.
Exactly.
And put a Band-Aid on it.
Put this in the file case, that turns into gangrene, they amputate your arm, and now there's a claim. And this establishes that it actually happened on duty.
Gangrene.
Hey, it's been known to happen.
That escalated.
Especially when Dennis was in the military. All they did was saw people's legs off.
That's right. And put a stick in your mouth for the pain.
Yeah, that was Civil War reference this age. Missed that one. Paycheck log. I don't know if you want to use this. I think it's a good idea, but you don't have to. I mean, if the board doesn't.
They received their
check. That they got their check. We had a problem in state parks, people claiming they didn't get it.
Yeah, and it's a huge offense.
And it's a big deal.
Huge.
So
huge deal.
I don't know if that's it's more paperwork. I mean, just a clipboard, but
that's, say you could that's clip it to the to where the checks are.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a tracking tool to make sure.
Yeah.
Honor? Right, but the honor system sometimes fails, and then the district can be held responsible for that. Medical eval, talked about that one. Employment, hiring, workbook. So this one, something Nate and I can go over.
Hey, real quick question on that log. So the district's legally required to supply paychecks X amount of days from pay period, right? But if they're available at the district office, and let's just say one person doesn't come for 2 weeks to pick up their paycheck.
That's on them.
Okay, but their signature log's not going to say. So, like, how?
It's
more on us that we had the paychecks ready at X date, not necessarily because let's just say someone doesn't pick it up for 2 weeks, their signature says they didn't get it for 2 weeks. That doesn't mean it wasn't available to them.
True.
So how do you
differentiate? What if we have two columns on the form?
Checks in, checks out?
Yeah, basically, we have the checks as of this date for these people, and the other column is them getting the check.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay. What you could do, too, on that form is do a check. Like, I was thinking if you could list all their names and then have check boxes.
Right, just that would change.
What, exactly.
As folks come and go.
Where this is less work administratively because we don't have to change it. I agree with the as minimal work administratively as possible, being as though we don't have an administration. My thing is like, it's more important for us just to make notice of when we had checks available than when they necessarily picked them up.
Well, but it's also important that we know that that employee picked up their check.
Should we have them sign?
I'm sure in your case right now that you, obviously you know everyone and, you know, you're not going to give check to Bill if it's for Sally unless you know.
Let me explain how this goes.
Sally wants the check.
Checks get signed and put in an envelope and put on that shelf in a stack. And they either come and pick them up, or it sits here for 2 months.
So but if Sally doesn't get her check, doesn't get her check,
okay.
And Bill took her check and cashed it somewhere, that's not good.
Well, right. Then that's on his fraud, right?
Well, it is, but it's also incumbent upon us to make sure that our employees have their paychecks. If we don't have a system that ensures that, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So this helps ensure that.
Got it.
Doesn't. Solve just, the honesty thing, but
just a note for the recording right now, the microphone has seemed to bugged out a couple of times on me here, so we are having technical difficulties.
Is it power?
I don't know what it is. I just push it back into USB and it picks right back up, but for some reason it's cutting out.
How do you tell that it's cutting out? Is it
okay? So see the little green dots flashing over here? That's us talking.
Okay.
If those go away, if you don't see those, then there's no sound coming in, and you just gotta put the. It's happened twice so far.
Has it happened before?
Once before in another meeting.
Okay.
Just so we know, I might have to renege on my donation and actually just go buy a new one and donate it.
Got it.
Since this is an old one.
Okay. Okay.
So I could add another column. That's fine, too. I mean, that works to kind of when we got them, when that covers us when we get it. And when they.
I mean, theoretically, we're going to get them all at the same time, right?
Yeah, so we just always get them with.
So we would just date the form.
Oh, yeah. We just got to have a date up top.
Yeah. Checks in.
Checks received and make sure either there's a initial or something by each person who's getting a check.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy peasy. Okay.
Yeah.
So the employment hiring workbook, this is, so part of the hiring process, we talked about this, is essential functions health questionnaire. This says we tell them what the job duty is,
right.
And can they complete the task. Remember, we can't ask questions if they're disabled or they have this or that. But you can say, here's what's required.
Can you?
Can you stand, squat, lift, turn, jump, blah, 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 blah,
but we
blah,
can't
blah.
Say, can you have a bad, do you have a bad back?
Correct.
Okay. Got it.
So this form is based on, as it says here, the duty statement itself. That's where the duty statement becomes important because in there it talks about all of the a lot more detail of what a firefighter does or a driver or whatever. And they fill this out. And so there's two sides, front and back. So what I did to, in Excel, mm-hmm. you can have multiple pages.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So as you see here, it says firefighter, EMS, fire chief, etc. That's all pre-filled in.
Oh, so each one is
got it. So here's the name of the position.
Fire chief,
so yep. it's already. So you just got to click on whichever position it is.
Mm-hmm. Print it
say
out.
Fire captain, and then it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff that I put in is basically all the same for all the positions. So the detail is in the duty statements.
Right.
And then you go down. Oops.
And this is when they've already been hired and they're...
It's during the pre... This is part of the forms process.
Before and the medical...
The back of the document, this is the employee or the applicant's certification. Yes, I'm able. No, I'm not able. I'm able with a reasonable accommodations.
Got it.
So if there's something that they can't do that we need them to do, then we might have to find a reasonable accommodation to do it. Or maybe they can't work for us, you know.
Yes.
If they're an amputee, I don't see how you can be a firefighter. But you might be able to be an admin staff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then some other forms in this workbook. This is the 833, which is the arrest and disclosure statement. So they would read this part, basically says... You can't have a bunch of crap against you. If you, you want to get hired, we're going to put you through a process that allows us to see that. And then here, this is where they would fill in if they did have anything ahead of time. Part of this background process should be, we ask them if they've done anything.
I was going to say, if they're lying or not,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's almost not what they've done. I mean, it is, but...
Yeah, yeah.
But are you lying about
it? Are you lying about it? That is a clue as into someone's integrity. And that's part of what we're looking for is integrity of the individual.
Right.
So that's this workbook. So
because we've already talked about that it's up to discretion of the hiring panel, whether those...
Right. Whatever, what the detail, in the detail.
Right.
So there's a checklist here of what these different forms are and the pre-hire.
You're so organized, Dave.
And then there's a letter that would... This is a lot of paperwork, and I know, and I feel bad, kind of, for Nate. I feel bad, real bad for Nate. But done, this is what you would give to the new person. It says, you're going to be hired, but we need you to fill out all these forms, and we need to do our due diligence to make sure you are qualified via these areas to work for us.
They're on all of this, but, like, could we print out packets so it's a lot easier?
Yes, I could do it anyway. This is just...
I think it's great that they're on here. I'm just thinking, like, if you had a filing cabinet with these all stapled together, it's just a lot easier admin-wise.
Grab a packet.
Grab a packet.
Yeah,
and then it's...
That's fine.
Then you don't have to, like, remember, oh, I gotta... I love it on here, too. I just think as a...
Yeah, remembering shouldn't be part of the job, right?
What? Yeah.
Memory's not required.
Yeah, we can make packets.
Perfect.
I won't do a lot. I mean, I won't do probably some for the... like the assistant chief and the EMS coordinator.
Right, yeah, but for the
but
basic
for the firefighter,
EMS staff,
the
firefighter.
EMS stuff, yeah. Yeah, can do that. All right. Oh, actually, I did a forms list. Yeah, look at that. I forgot. So the different forms, these are the ones we currently are recommending. So we just kind of went over all these, but this would just be a list of them. Some are ours, some are theirs.
I like the last sentence.
The protection?
Yeah. Gotta be secure.
By the way, the password is...
Well, I know it.
It goes blatantly against my computer policy.
I mean, that can be changed, obviously. And only a couple of the forms are password protected because of formatting issues, stuff. Because you don't want someone going in and start changing stuff around.
Right.
Stuff can be entered, but not changed,
kind
of thing.
Yeah.
But, and I just came up, I mean, obviously a simple password that I could remember while doing this, it can be changed at any time. None of the forms can be protected.
Yeah.
But I needed to share that somewhere. I mean, yeah. All right. That's forms. Any questions with that? So org chart. You had sent out one, a lot of discussion came around, you made some tweaks, but then I'm not sure if we settled on anything.
Well, I mean, my take from all that was we were fine with what we had, leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah, we did.
I mean,
I don't care what it needs to be. The one that we had is almost a direct copy,
I think,
simplified
what,
from District 1.
Yeah, and we didn't know we had one. Like, I didn't know
so
they had.
So what
one
do we want
didn't.
To do? Do we?
So I think we just keep the one we have.
Just keep the one we have and run with it? Is it close enough?
It's basically a copy of District 1's, and it's the
with
one that Medicare approved when they asked for one. It didn't. So I don't.
Yeah.
Change it to whatever you want. I was just curious about what was going on. I didn't realize nobody knew we had one.
Yes. No, we had,
we had to have one to get Medicare bills.
I think we talked about it at a meeting that you weren't here, and we're like, oh, yeah, we need an organization chart, but I think you were out on
the
call.
Right,
gone.
And you said you'd work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was just, you know, too many T's being crossed.
Just leave it.
Yeah, we'll just use the one we have and put it in the manual.
I don't know if I have a copy of whatever we have.
I'll forward it to you. You sent it in an email, I think.
Because I'll put that into an attachment or on the policy or the
data. It needs to be
do you want
edited because there's names attached to some of those.
Okay,
tags,
I'll clean it
so
up. I'll clean it up.
Yeah. Maybe there doesn't need to be whoever the chief is. Or
yeah, we don't need
yeah, no,
names
there shouldn't
on
be.
It
just.
Medicare wanted that.
So oh, okay.
That was part of
that.
Because that
was
so.
A submission with the ambulance
correct.
Stuff. They want to know
correct.
Who's doing it.
So yeah. That's probably the only thing that I would think is the names just be omitted out of
okay.
It.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
Then information security policy, if you want. Do you want me to bring up or?
Yeah.
What we.
Let's see. Yeah, go ahead. Let me. See what I can find here. That's what is that? A
320.1. So near the bottom. The one that's like a third of the entire policy. It's like 8 pages long, 9 pages long.
Now, just for clarification. Basically, the computers that are here are just being used as dump terminals.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
So that means anybody that's signing on to these computers, we're not running our own programs or storing information in them. We're signing on
correct.
Somewhere else to do something.
Correct.
Okay.
All the like charting software and all that stuff that any of the crews have access to. Everybody has their own domain on the computer and they log in, but we're not storing information there unless they choose to put their own tax documents on there, whatever, in their domain. But they're just accessing ImageTrend and filling out.
So they're using the internet essentially.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're not storing
dumb terminals is an old, you know. It didn't have any smarts. It was just a keyboard and a screen.
It's very insensitive.
That's the way we used to do stuff.
Which makes our section for that policy a lot easier because we're not storing information.
Although, but your computer, you put stuff on it. Policy, documents.
Policy stuff.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
But no, like,
medical stuff. Right, right. But district content.
Yes.
Right.
If that's the right word.
Yes.
District content, but maybe not confidential
content. The crew isn't necessarily and doesn't have access because that's under your sign-in, I assume. Or chief sign-in or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so actually, I started at 315, which is social networking.
Okay.
Oh. And it's this way. Yeah, 315.1.
Well, that was another big topic this past weekend at the chief class.
What's that?
Social networking.
Social networking. I mean, there was only, like I told Tom Carey, there was only 4 sections that we went through, and every bit of it was limiting liability to the district.
Sure.
It was all, like, the responsibilities of the fire chief when it comes down to putting out fires was at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, that's what management is limiting liability.
It was all limiting liability, and...
That's a big...
That was a huge one.
It was
a lot of time taken up.
So the social networking was actually pretty straightforward. It says, hey, unless you have authorization to say something...
On the district's behalf.
On the district's behalf, don't do it. You know, and it kind of goes through and says, you know, like, unless specifically instructed or authorized by the fire chief, blah, 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 those kind of things. So the social networking was in pretty good shape. I really didn't do anything to that. Then we got to 320.1, which is information security. And that's where I wanted to kind of clear up. So if we go down to data backup and recovery, honestly, I've been doing computers since 1972. And I've probably backed up a computer 5 times in my life. If we were keeping all the personnel records and all the...
Yeah, like we didn't have the filing cabinet.
That's all on paper still.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Then I could see it. Otherwise, I'm not sure. All we're really backing up is passwords and user domains. It's just an administrative hassle.
We're not keeping any documents, personnel files, anything like that. I might want to do something here,
like maybe once a year, we'll back it up, just to save the effort of recreating everybody if the computer does go down. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So, get a note of that here.
And to be honest with you, the person that I have in the shadows dealing with all that is Tyler Fowler. So I don't know how often he is backing that stuff. He's the only person that has access to the back door of all
the
that.
Admin password.
Yep.
So somebody else should have that too.
Yeah, only Tyler does.
Yeah, so. we need to have more than one. So if he gets killed in a car wreck, we're...
You have him, right?
No, Tyler Fowler
is the only person.
Who can get in the back door of all these individual user domains that the crew is assigned.
But that's because he is what?
He's the IT guy that set it all up for me.
Oh, okay.
But he's technically a member of the district. But I don't have any of those passwords or whatever. I can call him on the phone and say, "Hey, Tyler, I just added this person. Can you give me a domain for them?" And he can do it off site. But I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
definitely. The only reason I say that is because when Victoria Trees died, it was a fucking nightmare after she died and the Crater Lake Realty fiasco of tech. She was their tech person, and we were locked out of everything.
And even if the person that has the information is not technically inclined enough to use it, at least we have it.
Yeah.
So I think we need to.
Could we just set up like a what's that called, like on Microsoft Passkey, where Nate would have access to the?
I'll call Tyler.
Yeah.
Okay. Find out.
Tell him
the concern.
And I would think that was a crazy scenario, but it actually happened to me, so it's definitely.
Well, wouldn't there be the administrative access for the computers themselves, as well as for whatever system that he's using for the medical stuff? I mean, those should be two different components.
Right? I mean, in theory, really, we could argue about this, but to me, since people are coming in, if they've got to sign into the medical system and do their charting, we could get away with one user.
What do you mean?
Right, one username.
I come in, I sit down, I sign in as Joe Blow, but when I log into the system that I have to chart the
You're talking about one user on the
computer.
The
problem with that is because we had a system kind of similar to that, and for whatever reason, not every time, but from time to time, the point of access to the charting system would save passwords.
Oh.
And that is the entire reason why this is all individual and separate, and they have their own domain.
So the charting system itself would save the password.
I don't know what settings or what. I'm not a tech guy. But I'm saying it was an issue when people would sign in, and then boom, the last text information, username and password still saved in there. And like maybe you're signed in, you checked your email and you're signed into your Google account or
yeah,
whatever.
Sure, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
The liability is too much. So
So like the iPads in the ambulance,
they don't save passwords at all. And like my charts are done before I get back here in the ambulance.
So the when you log into the charting software on one of these computers, is it through a browser? Do you start up like Firefox or Chrome or okay, that's who is saving the password and
so
the user.
Over here, so these two computers are not linked together.
They're not talking to each other.
This thing's a hunk of junk over here. This thing is the one that is hooked up where everybody has a separate domain. And so when you log into your own domain, you get to your home screen and there is like the CAD, access to the CAD and access to Image Trend Elite. And then I'm pretty sure it goes through Firefox too.
Yeah.
But that way, even if Firefox is the one, nobody else can get to that point.
To your domain. Yeah.
Correct. So that's why we went to that, just for that second layer of
Can be disabled in Firefox.
But. Yeah, but I think it's just smarter to talk to Fowler and have have the other secondary admin.
Well, yeah, somebody. I was just saying that I think there's two different admin jobs. You have administrative access to the computer that has access to all those domains, and then access into the charting system itself. Those are two different components. One's in the box over there, and the other one is...
I get to assign the admin roles in the charting software.
Yeah, he's already got
that. So, like, if a tech comes in here and they sit down to do their chart, the only past charts they can see are the ones they've written.
Right.
I can see everybody's charts.
Right, okay. So you're an administrator for that system.
And if Nate gets run over...
That's good. I'm not saying that should be changed. I was just identifying that we have two different administrative roles.
So he's already got one admin role. We just need him to have the second.
Just don't have access into...
Into their individual right.
So
which you should, or someone should.
Well, someone should, just in case we need them.
Yeah. And for security, if someone we think is doing something wrong, we need to be able to have access through the administrator, the chief, whoever that is, to be able to look.
Yeah.
I mean, that's these are district equipment. That's what this says.
Yes.
Is don't do anything
exactly.
You're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know? Well, we have access. So it can't be just the Fowler guy or whoever.
There needs to be at least two people, whoever that is.
Yeah, I'll just call Tyler. It's not,
I was just spelling out that there's two different administrative
roles. I understand. And the truth of the matter is him and I have talked about how he needs to sit down and teach me how to do it. And we just haven't come to that.
Okay. No,
it's not like it's a gatekeeping thing he's got going on. It's just...
Right. No, but... Definitely. I mean, if he's...
In my scenario, it was a gatekeeping thing.
Oh, yeah. No,
she was going to die before she gave us passwords. And she did.
You guys know what happens when you don't have access to password stuff, right? The phone and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Okay. So there's some of the stuff I think we're just going to kind of ignore because multi-factor authentication... doesn't really affect us at all. We don't use VPNs. We don't use, I think the charting software maybe is software as a service. A lot of these terms are new since 1972, and I don't know them all. Endpoint protection, again, that's people coming in and screwing with our systems. Well, there's nothing to screw with. Firewall security. I assume that's a Windows system. Should have firewall running already. We don't do emails, right?
Well, we don't have government email. I mean, we have Gmail. But...
Do they go online on the browser and look at their emails?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that's fine. So I was going to wipe out the whole wireless thing with password management because nobody's, we're just not in those.
Yeah, this is designed for a...
This is designed for a full live computer
We don't need to do email phishing exercises.
Phishing is gone. Security awareness training.
We can't fish?
No, no fishing. They're not biting anyhow.
Fish on my back deck here shortly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Acceptable user policy, keep that. Patch management. Yeah, we should know that the system's updated. That's not a big deal.
The heck is patch management?
Did your Windows get updated to the latest Windows version? Did, you know, is Firefox running the latest version? That's all it is. Used to be that instead of installing a whole new Firefox when it needs to be updated or something, you just installed a patch and it went in and it fixed part of the code and then you had a new version. But that's all changed. Mobile device management. Now,
oh, speaking of that, I got an email from Verizon the other day.
About what?
That said, if I don't log into our business Verizon account shortly, I will be deleted as a user. I'm like, or locked out. And I'm like, what? So, and I'm the only one currently.
I don't even have access to that.
I sent you access, and I sent Dan access, and you guys just have it. So I'm going to resend it.
Okay.
Because right now, if I get locked out, I'm like,
why did you do that?
I don't know.
It's set up
on automatic payment. I'm like, why do I need to log in?
Yeah, really.
It's weird, but I'm going to log in today and then resend you and Dan.
Okay.
So incident response, I mean, if that computer blows up, we just start fresh.
Yeah.
Call Best Buy. And
I mean,
they're both donated computers.
Yeah. So, yeah. Auditing and logging. Again, invalid login attempts, creation of new user accounts, escalation. Those things are kind of already running in the background, so I'm just going to leave it.
Okay.
Acceptable use policy. That seems pretty reasonable. I don't know if you guys have a requirement on the passwords right now. Length of passwords and, you know, 12 characters.
Every system has their own.
Yeah, I don't.
Every system has their own.
I don't have anything to do with anybody's passwords at all. That's the whole deal. They have, when you get added to this, if you read that thing on the wall, you put in your name, first initial and last name is your username, and then there's a generic first time password.
Yes.
That prompts you to create your own private password.
Right.
And then boom, you're in your.
But is there a restriction on the size and how that password is formatted?
I would think each system would be.
I have no idea. I'd have to ask Tyler.
It's a user defined thing.
On the computer, but on all the other systems.
I think you have to have a.
No, I don't care about
one number, one capital letter, okay. And one character and eight total or something like that.
Okay.
Not to be like, but this seems really overkill.
For us,
12
it is.
12 is crazy. So.
It is.
I hate 12.
So do I.
Let's just say 8.
But why do we even need to say anything about passwords in the policy? Like, this is where I'm going that feels overkill.
We don't have a agency system that anybody's logging into.
That's true. We don't. But you typically don't want your password to be 1234.
Yeah, but who's going to monitor that? He doesn't even know what the password is. So who's gonna know?
The system won't let you create 1234.
Okay, but then the system's doing it. Why do we need to have a policy about it?
The reason for the policy is there is simply to tell whoever's working on the computers
what
the
he's
requirements
got over here
are.
Is the password requirements include a capital, one lowercase, a number, and or a special character, must have 3 of the 4 listed characters above, and it be at least 7 characters long.
Okay, so we can just
7.
Take that and put it in here then.
So,
Characters.
7 characters, letters, numbers, special characters.
You want me to go take a picture of that so you can?
Yeah, you can do that. That's
so
fine. And I'll go highlight this so I can remember that I need to change it.
And then it quits on the wall.
Okay. The rest of it's pretty normal user stuff. You know, you can't use the internet for personal emails or personal gains or conduct personal business, to gamble,
blah, blah, you know.
No porn.
Darn it.
No, I took that out.
You said no gambling, but...
The porn's fine, you know. It has that in here, too. So a lot of this stuff doesn't apply because we're just not doing it. Send unprotected, sensitive, or confidential information externally. We don't do that.
Well, could someone with access to the chart stuff copy, paste, whatever, and then put that in an email and send it somewhere?
Like if they were being nefarious.
Yes. Is that a possibility?
With their own charts, sure, I guess.
Okay,
but,
we'll leave it in there.
So, I mean, someone could take Joe Smith's medical chart information and put it on the internet in our system.
If they're being
system.
Nefarious.
Yeah, I'm not saying they would. I'm saying that.
You got to think about that, though.
The only person that's not an admin who would have access to anything of Joe Smith's would be the person who actually treated Joe Smith.
Right, I'm talking about
in
that
which
person.
Case, the only information they could put out to the world is what is in their head already or what is on the face sheet that comes from the hospital, which has nothing to do with this anyway. So,
okay.
I mean, sure.
I'm just, because we're saying it, but
you're not, nobody is going to log on to a computer, access
Joe Blow,
unless they actually treated Joe Blow.
Right.
Gotcha.
And so,
That's what I'm asking. Is it a possibility? If it is, then we need to have a policy that says
you can't do that. But it's a possibility for our paramedics to take a picture of a face sheet and post it on the Facebook page.
Which should be
write a policy not to do that? I guess is my point.
You got to tell people not to do what they're
Well, that's where HIPAA comes in, and they already have a HIPAA agreement with the agency.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I don't...
So the HIPAA agreement covers this.
I'm going to leave it. It really isn't going to affect this, but it's there. The other part
I think the only thing that I feel is helpful leaving it is they have signed a HIPAA agreement, but let's just say HIPAA comes back, then we can say, like, listen, we've doubled up. They've had training.
Leave
it in there.
Yeah. It doesn't
liability.
It doesn't affect anything. Yeah, here we are in liability. Clean desk, clear screen. That should be a pretty standard thing. Don't leave important papers laying out and don't leave yourself logged on and et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, technically speaking, they're supposed to be on a computer that faces the wall, and that's about as good as we can get is sitting right there kind of facing that corner. They've already been told nobody's allowed to do charts on this one just because it's
the facing
screen
the room.
That faces the whole room, you know?
Yeah, and there are covers you can put on the screen so the you have to be literally right behind it to see it.
Yeah.
They're privacy covers.
Privacy.
I have them on my phone.
Privacy
you can't
screens.
Read me texting.
Working off-site,
Savers.
Carrie's going to work off-site. You may work off-site. I don't think. We don't have VPNs into here. Mm-mm. We're not going to use VPNs. We're not that sophisticated.
Only you do. Watch Heartland in Canada.
So I removed the whole VPN thing. I removed the encryption. Mobile devices. Mobile devices need to be password protected and encrypted.
No.
Not for us.
We only have one mobile device anyway. Well, I guess we have the iPads, right?
Well, yeah, the tablets.
Mobile devices.
Are they all password protected? Mm-hmm. They're just not encrypted. What does encrypted mean versus password protected?
Encrypted means even if I knew the password when I got in there, I couldn't read it. It would just be gobbledygook.
It's in code.
It's encoded. It's coded.
Yeah, definitely got that.
And you have to know the encryption key to decode it.
That's unnecessary for us.
Yeah, it is. And
okay, so that part's coming out?
Yes, it is coming out.
Except for the password protected part. Yeah.
Password protected, staying encrypted, it's coming out. No VPNs. That's pretty much the end of it.
Okay. Really.
And then we get into intellectual property, which is nobody here is intellectual enough to have property.
Dave's like, no, we have a registered
That's if somebody writes a
program. That's why we work so hard on it.
You know, or creates kind of operational.
We have a trademark.
We have a trademark.
We have a trademark logo.
Actually, the trademark is already covered someplace.
I know, but that is intellectual
property. That is intellectual property.
He worked hard on it. Let him have it.
Yes.
Yes, sorry. I left the section there.
Good.
So, okay, that's the end of that for that. So.
Cool.
Okay. I think that's about everything I have. I mean, it's a couple things I got to talk to Nate about, but safety committee stuff and EMS guidelines, we still need to, again, that's kind of part of the operation section, but for Don or whomever to spell out some stuff. And looking at the stuff that, Cammy, you put on the Google
Docs
from Chemult, there's a lot of good stuff that they have. I haven't read through it all, but that is a good starting point. But that's really up to those guys to decide what they want or don't want. But as I said, once this all gets approved, then all that needs to be done is written up and someone put it in here and do a notice and it's approved and everything. And then it's done.
Okay.
So who will want the final electronic copy of this? Who will manage it going forward? Because someone will need to manage it for changes and updates and stuff. So that's something to think about.
The final copy should probably be on the two district computers, right?
Right, but we don't want it where someone who doesn't have access, we can password protect that.
Yes.
So they can't go in and change
it. So somebody can't change it and look like we made changes that we didn't make.
Right, we put it on the Google Drive then?
But it needs to be available in a way that...
I would think Chief and maybe the President of the Board are the two that should have...
Because someone will need to manage it going forward.
Right?
I mean, when changes come to do that.
If the Chief and the President are always the two people, the two positions that will say manage it, then it just moves with the positions.
That's fine. I mean, it'd be put on the thumb drive or whatever, but there should be like one...
Master
copy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
That even if someone was able to break the code or whatever and change it, if someone said, wait a minute, that didn't work, this is the one that actually is.
Yeah.
I mean, if I get elected, since I've already turned my paper.
I haven't heard your speech.
What do you mean, my speech?
You're running
where's
for office.
Where's the freebies you're passing out?
Yeah.
Where's the cajola stall?
They want little
flags.
Well,
I don't
see
little cupcakes.
Buttons. I'll make little buttons.
Cookies and cupcakes could be a good...
Well, yeah, that's a good... Yes, yeah, absolutely.
No, but I... Seriously, if I stop...
So am I. I'm easily bought.
Why? You're leaving.
I know, that's why I'm easily bought.
But you're going to vote. That's right, because you'll still be on the board. Over voting, right?
Nothing to do...
The board doesn't vote.
It's ballot.
Ballot. Public votes.
Yeah, this is... countywide, well, I guess, is it just the district?
Just district.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
anyways,
my point is that, let's say the president has control over this, but we'll need an administrator, an administration person, to go in and make those changes according to what the president says. So, if I'm on the board, I can do that.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I think all he was saying is who has it in their possession.
Right.
Not that Dan's going to be the one changing it or even Nate. I think, that would be the secretary or who's ever on the board willing to format it.
And actually thinking about it, maybe that should be the master. There should be two.
That's why I was saying chief and president. Or what do you mean?
Because if the president decides to make unauthorized changes.
Right.
Someone else.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think a board member and
I'm trying to.
I think there should be.
How do you?
The primary copy should be on Google Drive with the KCFD3 BOD.
It doesn't, and Google Drive logs any edits, doesn't it?
I think
so it would have a
Right
timestamp.
And then, in theory, the manual notice would have to be created and voted on.
Yes.
So that would have to be in the minutes of any change.
And you could do
that. So that would be the fail-safe, or the check.
And you could, we could have copies on these two computers.
Well, if they're in print, though, too, we're going to know if a digital version is not the same as the binder here
well,
in the station.
If it isn't in print with that sheet and everything, then it's not legitimate.
Right.
Yes, till that point. So, like, even if you had a nefarious president who wanted to make a change in a policy without voting on it, we have it printed in the station.
Right? Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're...
I was trying to anticipate potential challenges.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree
and I think,
with that.
I think that when changes are made, you know, we don't just save over the old copy. We give it a new, like, a date.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's what Nate
creation
was saying,
date,
too. Yeah,
and
so we have a
dates.
History of policy.
And have that in the Google
Master.
Drive or wherever you want it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the notice does. The notice tells you that this change was made.
I think she was talking about if we rechange the whole, if we retype.
Oh, yeah, revision two.
Then
it
would be revision two at this date, and they're all the old ones are saved in the Google Drive.
Well, with Word, which
it's
I haven't done, you can put, I'm pretty sure, you can put the date through headers or footers.
Yes, you can.
It's automatic that
you
just change it.
Yes, you can.
So easy to do in the final version. It's dated, and then the next one would have the next date. Revision date.
Or amended.
Or amended, or
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I like about Google Drive so much. Okay.
That's.
Do we have any other changes, anything we want to look at here? Or are we?
I don't know, Dave's the.
So the plan is now you're going to send out stuff and we're all going to review it.
Yeah, did I not send out the
you
whole
did.
Thing?
You did.
Okay.
So
you guys have the policy manual
in
its draft form. So go through that. Use whatever editing tool you need to use, but make changes.
Send it back.
And
then
I'll combine all of those
and
together.
We'll do that sooner than later because you're... Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do it. I'll work on it. Well, with my taxes.
And then I'm relying on you for the actual formatting, editing stuff. And you don't have to show me those changes. Just content.
Any changes on wording, though? For instance,
changes on wording, but not
formatting as far as the spacing and
all
of
that. So you and I'll work together on the final product.
Okay.
So I'll get content from you guys.
Yeah, I'm your right-hand man, remember.
Or left. And
he's just got to argue for the sake of
argument. And you're a person, not a man, so let's be careful.
I'm a lady.
Oh, Lordy.
Here we go.
DEI is dead.
A female.
What do you mean? We got two right here. That way you can format and tweak all that in grammar and stuff. Yeah, because I don't need to.
You don't need
to do it because I'll just screw it up anyway. And you have to fix it.
Yes, I know that.
I'm a DEI hire.
I know that.
Gone, right?
Okay.
Okay.
We have our homework.
Motion to adjourn.
Go ahead.
I move that we adjourn.
I second.
We all second, apparently.
Okay. Dave?
Aye.
Carrie?
Aye.
Cameron?
Aye.
Myself? Aye. Dennis? All right.
What time did we adjourn?
That time is 11:13.
Way ahead of schedule.
There is a thing in here in the document about adjourning the meeting that is incorrect. I noticed.
What document?
In our manual.
Oh, like it's in the policy, not correctly about how to adjourn a meeting.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, I had the ambulance service this morning because it was due. $140, but that 52 truck is the overall bill for that piece of shit,